You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 302.
I'm speeding. I'm doing 65 and a 45, I think is what it was. And I get pulled over. And I cannot believe it. And so instantly, you know how everybody is, I start praying. I'm like, please, God. I was like, if this is the real deal and this is really going to happen, please don't give me a ticket. The guy comes up. I let him know. I tell him my situation. He's like, I'm not giving you a ticket. Good luck, buddy. And he sends me on my way. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, this is happening.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Bam! Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. Investor Grit presents Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling with your hosts, Tom Kroll and Cody Hoffhein.
Woo-wee! You're listening to another episode here on Wholesaling Inc. My name is Cody Hoffhein. I'll be hosting today's podcast episode, and I'm super excited to be back with you guys, Rhino Nation. And we're grateful to each of you that are listening to this podcast and also downloading, subscribing to the podcast. You guys are rock stars. You motivate us and inspire us to continue to deliver massive value, as well as massive imperfect action. Now, today we have on our show some rock star rhinos that just recently joined the tribe, but already starting to create deals and just charging forward in Southern Maryland. We have John Main and Michael Ambort with us, and they just did their first deal. Now, for those of you listening to the podcast, I want you to take out a piece of paper, take out a pen, and get ready to jot down some gold nuggets, because we're going to share with you step by step how they just did their deal. And it was a great deal that had a great payday. And we're going to get into this here in just a second. So get ready. Take action when you hear this and get out there and go get closer to your deal. So let's bring on Mr. John Main and Michael Ambort. How the heck are the two of you doing?
Good, good. Excited to be here.
We are. We're doing fantastic, Cody. Thanks for having us on.
You guys are rock stars. So you guys are business partners. Let's get this out there. How did you guys meet each other and what got you into doing business together?
Well, Michael is my adopted son. My wife and I are in the process of adopting him, though we have been a long time friends and family members. We consider Michael family for a long, long time. And my full time job is I own an IT company in the Washington, D.C. area. And Michael and I were just having a conversation one time, and he wanted to know how to go to the next step, even though he's a very successful young man in his own trade, how to maybe do some things, acquire some wealth, and build, you know, a different environment for his family. So we got to talk about flipping houses, and Michael introduced me to wholesaling, and I'll let him tell you the other half.
Let's hear it. This is awesome. Go for it, Michael.
So like he said, you know, he is already a very successful business owner. And, you know, I had a buddy come to me that wanted to start up a HVAC company because I'm actually a union steam fitter. So I was like, well, let me talk to my old man. You know, I trust his, you know, judgment on everything. So I called him. I was like, hey, can we have dinner? And he was like, yeah, come on over tonight. I go over to his house and he's like, what's up? And I was like, look, I want to start a company. I don't know how to do it. I just know that I want to do something for myself. And he's like, I think you can do it. You know, my mind's made up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start this union company. As I'm walking out the door, he's like, oh, Mike, I've been meaning to ask you, do you want to try to flip a house together? And I was like, oh my goodness, I've always wanted to do that. So then he threw a curveball. You know, I had my mind all made up and I said, well, let me sit on it. Let me go home. And I start researching, and somehow I get across Wholesaling Inc. And I'm like, all right, download the podcast. I mean, one episode, two episodes. I mean, by the time I knew it, I was probably 10, 12 episodes in. And I called it the next day. And I'm like, we got to do wholesaling. Forget the flipping right now. We got to do wholesaling. He's like, what's that? I'm like, just download this podcast and call me later. And we signed up and here we are.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome. So from the first time that you listened to it to actually join the tribe, what was the time frame on that?
Oh my goodness. Like a week, not even.
Yeah, it was very quick. Yeah. He introduced me to the podcast. We started listening. And I mean, I think for the next 2 weeks, that's all we did. And we, we both have long drives to work and to and from, and, it was just constant.
You complete rock stars. So here's the thing. I just did a post on this on my Instagram channel, and I was just talking about how powerful it is to kind of go out there and just take the ready, fire, aim approach versus the normal ready, aim, fire approach. And you guys did that. Massive imperfect action. You took the ready, fire, aim, but here we are in just a short time. You've already done your first deal, which has been pretty dang powerful to see, to hear. And now our audience gets to hear step by step exactly how you guys did this. So who wants to start off by kind of talking about what marketing channel you went through and what list you were marketing to?
I'm going to let Michael go, because I just want to say that, Michael, we're a partnership, but Michael has really taken the bull by the horns. And while we consult a lot and we visit and we do a lot of driving together and so forth, this deal was really brokered by Michael, and through his hard work and real determination, he really pulled out a great deal. And I want him to tell everybody about it.
Can I hold you guys off for 1 second? Because I'm sitting here listening to this and I keep getting chills nonstop. And I just sit here and I have to tell you guys, this like partnership, family, like bond, love that I even feel on this podcast is absolutely incredible. In fact, the John that you just sat there and said what you just said just shows that it's like, yeah, we may be business partners, but he's out there doing the hard work. I have to commend the two of you, because this is two humble individuals that are very teachable, and you are already a very successful businessman. And here you are still being coachable and teachable by just life and wanting to learn. So John, I commend you, what you just said. I thought that was absolutely powerful. And like I said, I just got chills listening to you as you said what you just said. So Michael, my man, it sounds like the show is yours for a second. Let's hear what you did. Let's break it down and help our audience understand how they can get massive value from the deal that you just did. What was the marketing channel and what was the list that you were mailing to? Or I should say that you're marketing to.
All right. First off, appreciate that, Dad. So we're from Southern Maryland, and we attacked the St. Mary's County area at first. It's a real small, very country rural area. So we decided to go with the unoccupied high equity list. And when we pulled it up through ListSource, it was only about 600 pieces. So we did direct mail, sent it out, maybe about a week and a half. We probably got a 3% return, about 18 calls or so. A gentleman called saying, hey, I want to sell my home. I want 50K for it. And I was like, okay. We started talking, started building rapport with him, trying to figure out what the real motivation, as to why he wanted to sell. I mean, instantly you can hear it on the phone. I was like, we got a motivated seller instantly.
Yeah. What kind of led you to know, like, instantly out of gate? What were some of the things he was saying that would help our audience that might be new to this, thinking, gosh, what does motivation sound like? So if I ever come across a phone call, I can kind of start to hear this.
Well, when I was talking with him, he was like, look, it's a terrible area. He's like, I want out. I mean, he told it as is. I mean, there was no trying to pull in, trying to maneuver around him to get him to reveal his motivation. He was just like, look, I need out of it. I'm losing money on it. I have a terrible renter in it. He's destroyed the property. He's like, I just don't care anymore. He's like, I'll take 50K for it. And,
So he's already telling prices even on the phone. Like, not only telling it's in bad shape. I want out of it. I don't want this. He's telling you a price. He's saying everything that makes you know that this guy really does want out of it. What I think is powerful about this, Michael, is the fact that it goes right in line with, we're not deal creators, we're deal finders. And you could see right out of the gates that this was a great potential to be a great deal. So keep going. Was that already, when you heard that, like 50 grand, were you already thinking, yeah, that sounds like a great deal? Or was that already still, or is that still questionable?
It was questionable just because, you know, I didn't know what the property looked like. I was vaguely familiar with the area. So, you know, I was like, all right, you know, let me call you back. You know, so I pull it up online. I look at the area, I look at the comps, and, you know, instantly I'm like, man, this is a good deal. So like you guys teach, I was like, but my stomach is just not uncomfortable with it. So I called him back and, you know, I just kept following up with him, doing rapport. He's like, look, you know, I got him down to 35K. That made me, you know, feel a little uneasy. He was like, I'll do 35K. And I was like, oh my goodness. Okay, now we're talking. And he was like, but look, he's going to pay rent in 2 days. Let me call you back. I was like, okay. So I'm at work and he calls me. He goes, I'm done. He said, I'll sign the paper. Send it over to me right now. I'll sign it. So I'm like, okay, you know, what's the problem? He's like, you know, he didn't pay. I can't keep doing this with him. I'm just done with the property. He was like, can you handle the eviction? And, you know, I'm like, man, I've never handled an eviction before.
I love this. Michael, this is awesome. This story gets so much better. I'm just sitting here thinking, oh, it can't get any better. He's already shared a great story. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's getting so much better. It's still going. This is cool. So he is not only frustrated, now he's like putting you in a situation where you're like, gosh, dang it. I don't even know an eviction and how to handle eviction. But I love that you're still moving forward. So keep going.
So he's like, handle the eviction for me. And I'm all there. And I was like, okay. And he's also like, look, when you handle the eviction, you know, do it in a way where he's not getting evicted. I don't want him to destroy the property anymore. And I'm like, man, how the heck do you think I'm going to do that? So I was like, okay. So I get on Google and I'm like, how to handle eviction, you know, and I had heard something in the podcast a couple of times, cash for keys. So I'm like, give me his number. I call the gentleman and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm a local investor. You know, I'm interested in purchasing that home. He's like, well, I don't own the home. And I was like, well, that's fine. I was like, you know, I don't want to, you know, kick anyone out of their home. I would hate to do that. So I wanted to call you and then call him, you know, would you consider cash, getting cash to evict? He was like, man, I would love some cash and I'll leave tomorrow. And I was like, oh my goodness, everybody wow. wants to leave this place.
So this is, hold on, let's hold on right there because there's some value I need to share that everyone should be writing down if you haven't already. The fact that Michael's out here taking massive, not action, just massive imperfect action. There was so much that Michael didn't know getting into this deal that he just learned as it came up. Had Michael been thinking beforehand, oh, but what if this happens? And what if this happens? And what if this happens? What happens when you start getting your mindset in that what if scenario? You start to take less action. In fact, a lot of people take no action because now they're stuck on YouTube University or Google or podcast, and they're just trying to find every scenario possible so they can already have a perfect plan in case this pops up or in case this pops up. Michael didn't do that. He just went out there and he found out that, okay, now he's talking about eviction. I don't know eviction. So at that point, that's when he got on Google. He found cash for keys. And he calls him up and says, hey, I'll give you cash. Get out of there. And the guy says, perfect. I'll get out of there tomorrow. And he's learning this on the spot and not trying to have this perfect plan right out of the gates. So I have to tell you guys, if you haven't written it down, massive imperfect action. And this is the perfect example of exactly that saying. So keep going, Michael.
In my phone, Google, I'm like, I need to find a contract, you know, to make this look legit. So I find a contract, I print it out. I send it over to my DocuSign. I do everything through DocuSign. Uh-huh. I send it over to him through email. He signs it, sends it back. And I'm like, I will give you the cash the day of. And he's like, okay, perfect. So I call the seller back and I'm like, hey, I got it all taken care of. We can proceed. I said, with the eviction, you know, I feel more comfortable with $20,000. And he's like, you know what? I'll do $20,000. So I get it under contract for $20,000
from originally 50.
Yep.
Holy smokes. So you're also just doing a great job on making sure it really is a deal and you're going to be taking care of other situations that you're going to have to take on versus someone else. So keep going.
So one big thing I did not mention through all this craziness, I am actually at the hospital when I get it under contract. My third son is actually being born. So I'm in the hospital typing up this contract, sending it out, and then I'm working up, you know, on my MailChimp to blast it out to my buyers. I'm getting all these emails and phone calls, and then next thing you know, the epidural finally kicks in, and the baby's coming, the laptop gets closed, I push it to the side. We have the baby June 10th, and then I get back on it after they take the baby, and I'm like, all right, you know, inspection is Friday. You know, the baby was born on a Monday.
Uh-huh.
And we have the inspection. I'm driving on a Friday. It was from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. I figured I'd do it early just because of the type of neighborhood it is.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't, you know, I was like, look, I'm going to do it early.
It's a war zone. I'm not going in there in the dark.
Nobody's outside in the morning. So I set it up for a morning, like I said, 10 to 11. I'm driving there, and I'm so nervous. I can't even drive, and I'm speeding. I'm doing 65 and a 45, I think is what it was, and I get pulled over, and I cannot believe it. And so instantly, you know how everybody is, I start praying. I'm like, please, God. I was like, if this is the real deal and this is really going to happen, please don't give me a ticket. The guy comes up. I let him know. I tell him my situation. He's like, I'm not giving you a ticket. Good luck, buddy. And he sends me on my way. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like, this is happening.
So this is so great. I love everything about the story, by the way. This is so great. I don't even need to add anything. Keep going.
So I get there. It's about 10:20, no buyers. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I'm about to pray again. So I start praying. I'm like, please let something happen. And mind you, the tenant still lives in the property. We gave him to the July 1st. So we have it under contract June 10th. We gave the tenant till the 1st to move out. So he leaves his son there. And so I feel bad. So I bring snacks. I bring my iPad so he has games to play. And I let him sit in my car. I'm like, look, man, it's weird. You don't want all these strangers in and out of your house and in your bedroom. And so the young kid's like, yeah, man, that's cool. Great. So he sits in my car the whole time I'm there. And I'm like, man, where's everybody at? 10:30 rolls around. I mean, it was like a feeding frenzy. It was about... like four came in at the same time, two came in. I mean, at one point there was almost nine investors in this tiny townhouse. And I was like, yeah, I created the feeding frenzy. So they're all talking. And then so that following Saturday at 5 p.m. is when I set up best and final offer. And I'm getting offers all over the place. I'm getting offers from people that didn't even come out to see the, you know, the property. And it got ate up. Am I allowed to say the price at this point?
Yeah, so you put under contract at 20, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now keep going. So we put under contract 20. Now you got all this, the investors hungry over this. Let's hear it.
So I listed it for 40,000. And I was like, you know what? I think it's worth 40,000. It ARV is at like 120. So I'm like, this is a good deal. So I send it out. It's a really good buy and hold. So I send it out. It gets ate up all the way up to 42,000. And so I sit there and I think to myself, I'm like, man, 42K, that's the best offer. I should take it. But I had just finished reading this book called The Go-Giver. And, you know, I'm a Christian as well. So The Go-Giver and the books that you guys recommend opened my mindset, you know, in a different view. And so this investor, he offered me what I wanted, 40 grand. But a young gentleman actually brought the buyer. You know, he wants to get into real estate and, you know, he's just trying to make a name for himself. So he's like, hey, you know, I have a buyer that's interested. I said, yeah, if he wins, you know, I'll give you like a bird dogger's fee, I guess is what I've heard the name, I guess they call them.
Yep.
And so I was like, I'll give you a bird dogger's fee, which I had no idea even what the fee was, but, you know, I just wanted to help the kid out. I was like, yeah, bring him out. And I decided, like I said, I read that book. I decided to go with the 40,000. A, he holds one of our local RIA meetings, so I looked at it as a business opportunity to build good relations.
Yeah.
And two, I was able to put, you know, some money in this young man's pocket. He had some issues with, you know, his family in the hospital. I just wanted to help him out some way. And he was getting ready to quit. You know, he's been doing it for months. And I was like, maybe this will help him and see that this is real, that, you know, there's enough money for everyone to, you know. And so I just decided, you know, I called the old man. I was like, look, I'm going to go with the second best offer. I'd rather do that and, you know, be a go-giver. And he was like, I think it's a great idea. And that's what we did.
So, that's phenomenal. So what did the end up being? You sold it for 40 and then was the fees you gave him some money?
So the fee, it was a 20,000 assignment.
Uh-huh.
$1,000 I'm adding into it for the cash for keys, and then the $500 water bill, and then the $500 bird dogger fee. So it came out to about $18,000.
Oh my goodness. You know what's about to happen for both John and Michael.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Get ready, because this is an incredible story and worthy of what's taking place right now. So hold on. What's even better is you doing the exact Tom Kroll that's on the intro to the podcast. That is... You guys, I'm sitting here like smiling from ear to ear, just listening to the story, and just love your guys' partnership. I think it's absolutely amazing. You guys are going to do way more than just one deal.
Oh, and there's
I
no
love
doubt
the
about
fact that
yeah.
you gave back. Yeah. You helped yeah. people, and you made it right, and you have adopted not just Red, but you're adopting the principles that you learned from great people like Bob Berg from The Go-Giver. That's absolutely awesome, gentlemen. What would you add to this, John? Because this story is pretty dang good, my friend. What would you add to it?
It really is a fantastic story, and Michael, I just loved his enthusiasm, and truly, I was while he was kind of really filling out this deal, I was actually on vacation in Nashville as well with my wife, and then I had a family emergency as well. So he really did this on his own. But I think the other thing is that I just want to point out, I know that he did a lot of research, took the initiative to do that, and used the wholesaling forums and other key players that he's met through networking. And I just the initiative that he's taken as somebody who's been in business a long time, I just see a lot of real key indicators there that show me that Michael will continue to be successful throughout his life.
That is phenomenal. Well, gentlemen, this has been amazing. And I will tell you, there's two questions, and I'd love to have both of you actually answer this. So each of you get a shot on both these questions, because I'd love to hear this. I love double the value here. So we always end our podcast two ways with the two questions. The first one is a good book that you guys are reading right now that are game changing. And each of you can answer that differently.
I'll go first. So I'm probably going to steal his. I've read pretty much, I've read a lot of the books you guys recommend. So I'm going to just go with the Plain Jane, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, only because for me personally, I relate to that book a lot. You know, like he said, he's my adopted dad, but he, in my eyes, is my father. I grew up without a dad. You know, my mom had, boyfriends or whatever. And, I've had many guys try to be my dad, and it's always the same spiel. Go to school. Go to college, get a good job. So, within the first couple minutes of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I'm like, man, I relate to this book so much, with the man that I call my father now. I'm like, he's my rich dad in the sense of what he teaches me. He's opened my mind up to entrepreneurship and just moving forward and, just being the best me I can be. So, he's my biggest motivation. I don't want to call him my cheerleader, but yeah, he's my biggest motivation.
That is so awesome. That is a book that I'd say 6 out of 10 people will say is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. In fact, we had the opportunity to interview just recently Robert Kiyosaki and deep dive some of the stuff in that book. And awesome, awesome, awesome book. Great book.
Yeah,
and what an awesome tribute to you, John. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And it's even, and I'm still reading the book as well. It was given to me by Michael as a gift, and he put an inscription in there and also gave me a card. So it means a lot to me. And as I hope everyone knows, so I'm in my second marriage. We have a blended family with now 7 children, including Michael. And so I'm used to, and we try to promote the fact that, you don't have to be blood to be family. Michael has blessed us with children and grandchildren. And so that book means a lot to me, and him providing it to me and leaving me an inscription means a lot. But there's a lot to be learned in there. And even as somebody, I'm turning 61 this year and have been through a couple different businesses and worked in the IT industry for nearly 40 years, there's lessons to be learned in there. So for those of you who have not read that book, please go out and get it today, because it has a lot of great insights and certainly some things I wish I had done earlier in my career.
Awesome. 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 Well, let's go for question two. And I'm excited to hear this from each of you. And that's, looking back, you may, and even though it's just a short time ago though, so, and you guys acted so quick, but I'm going to put you on the spot still. Looking back, hindsight, is there anything you would have done differently, or is there something that, or maybe if it's like, oh no, we loved what we've done, or maybe let's twist the question. Is there something you would have done differently starting over again, or is there something that you would have made sure you did the same starting over again?
Yes. So when I had my son, I stopped for about 6 weeks. And, you know, that 6 weeks really hurt us. It definitely set us back. And, you know, now we're getting back into our groove. And I mean, we got, the pipeline is so full, it's hard to keep up with the phone calls. You know, we're looking at a potential flip, a potential buy and hold for ourselves. We got two under contract right now that are worth about $8,000 assignment each.
Wow.
Yeah, we definitely got the pipeline. So if we did stop for that month and a half, I can only imagine, you know, where we would be at right now. So, you know, sky's the limit, really. I mean, we're just attacking one small market, and we live in a tri-county area, so I can't wait to hit the larger markets. So
that's huge knowledge, though, to give out, because a lot of people don't realize just the power of consistency. It's those little moments of break or stopping the action that's necessary to be done that can really throw off a whole business. So the fact that you're saying, man, of all things, and it came pretty quick. So I love the fact that it came quick enough for you to realize, yeah, I know what it was. It was, I took 6 weeks off, and that kind of hurt our business and the flow of deals. And had I not done this, we would have had more consistent deals and probably done more deals. So this is a huge opportunity for each one of you listening, Rhino Nation, to jot it down so that you don't have to live that. You can already learn from their mistake so that you don't have to live that. So that is a powerful, powerful, powerful give right there. Thank you, Michael. John, what about you, my man?
Yeah, so Cody, I think something that I would really have done from the beginning was, I didn't see the value, and Michael taught me the value of networking and going to these RIA meetings and really pushing the envelope and adding some apps to keep us on the go and aware of those, because he has met some people that have turned us on to some new deals. And I think more importantly, you learn from these people, obviously. And in this area, you know, it's like any real estate agent, or it's kind of like, you know, in my business, doing business development work, you really truly have to network. So I didn't see the value in that as first, but Michael certainly has taught me that. And so we are using an application to keep us aware, and using Meetup and other tools. So we're tuned into these meetings, and we want to continue to network more. And like you said, he has two assignments that are done through a JV, and that's all done through, you know, being aware of other people and networking. So don't underestimate that at all.
Powerful. In fact, one of my favorite quotes with that, John, is the fact that your network is your net worth. Who are you communicating with? Who are you consistently getting uncomfortable to talk to each and every day? Because you've got to be willing to put yourself out in uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable places, so that you can start to see the different opportunities that can present themselves to you. And so kudos to both of you for doing that.
Thank you.
Well, you gentlemen are rock stars. You just delivered so much value to Rhino Nation. I want to thank you both for taking time to get on our podcast. And if Tom were here, he'd be saying the exact same words. Thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts, because this will add extreme value to those that are listening. And it's going to resonate with a lot of people out there that are thinking, is it still okay to get into wholesaling? Is it still real? Is it still something I can do? And your story right here today will let them know that yes, they can do this. This is something they can still do. They can be a part of and get out there and get deals. So thank you two for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Cody. And we definitely appreciate all the insight and all the help. We're very grateful.
You guys are rock stars. And you're very, very welcome. Rhino Nation, what an amazing podcast. I hope that you had a paper and a pen jotting down all the gold nuggets that were shared right here on this episode. Get back there, download this episode, re-listen to it, because there is so much value given here. These are two individuals that just a short time ago had no idea what even wholesaling was. And now they've done one deal that's already closed and they have a couple deals in the pipeline ready to close. And this will be just three of many deals down the road. You guys can do this. If you need help doing it, you can go over to wholesalinginc.com. That's wholesalinginc.com, where you can book a call with our team. And we'd be glad to see if we can be a fit and help you in your journey of becoming a wholesaler and doing your first deal as well. Thank you guys. Take care. And we'll see you on the next episode.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at investorgrit.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe with your hosts, Tom Kroll and Cody Hoffhein. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.